Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
What is the most you've ever had to look forward to something? What's the biggest thing you've ever waited in anticipation, in expectation for? And did it live up to the expectations? At the moment, my family, we're waiting for a baby. My sister's expecting, and it's an exciting time, and I'm pretty sure it will live up to expectations. I've never met a baby who was disappointing in how much of a baby they were. What are the things that we long for as a society, as a country maybe? Some of these can be a bit more disappointing. We wait for next year's Eurovision. We wait another 4 years for another World Cup. And sometimes you don't get what you're waiting for. Sometimes you do get what you asked for. Maybe it's a general election and the candidate you voted for wins, but things don't really seem to change. You get what you ask for, but it's a bit of an anticlimax, a bit of a disappointment. We're going to be in John's Gospel today. And I wonder, as I read this, whether you can see what is the country waiting for? What are the people here hoping for? And do they get what they want, or is it a bit of a disappointment? We're reading from John 12 and verse 20. If you have a Bible, do get it out, and it will also be on the screen behind me, and I'll be reading from the NIV. So John 12 and verses 20 through to 36. Is that better? Yep. Okay. So John 12 and verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it. They said that it had thundered. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. This is God's word. And as we read that, did you spot it? What they're waiting for. Right there in the first verse, "We would like to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." And this isn't the start of Jesus's ministry. This is 3 years in, and so they know something about him, and they know what they're hoping to see. Over the past 3 years, Jesus has been doing miracles, and recently it's felt like he is reaching his high point. Maybe he's come through the quarterfinals, he's smashed through the semifinals, and he's reaching the pivotal moment. He's turned up last week at his friend's funeral, and he raised his friend from the dead. And there were loads of people there to see it. And so a crowd is gathering wherever Jesus goes. And it's a big week. It's the week before Passover. And the week before Passover, everyone turns up to Jerusalem for the festival. And so the Jewish people are pouring in from all over. And not just Jewish people, there's Greeks as well. So non-Jewish people, but they have some understanding of the Jewish belief in God, and they're coming to the city as well. And they get swept up in the crowd, in the excitement, and they say, we want to see Jesus. God seems to be doing something. Jesus seems to be unstoppable. And his disciples, they are waiting too. Because for the past 3 years, Jesus has been saying, there's an hour coming. There's a moment coming when people will see who I am. When God will be visible. There's a moment coming when God will be victorious, when he will deal with death. But he keeps saying to the disciples, my hour has not yet come. Mother, don't make me do this. My hour has not yet come. This can't happen because my hour has not yet come. And they're wondering, when is it going to be? When are we going to see him? When are we going to see his power? When are we going to see God in public? What will it be like? And now, the moment comes. And here in verse 23, Jesus finally says, the hour has come. The Son of Man will be glorified. And this is what it's going to be like. What will it be like when we see Jesus? It's going to be like a seed. Is this a bit of an anticlimax? What were they expecting? I bought this seed yesterday. They didn't have any wheat kernels in Morrison, so it's a sunflower seed, but I think it works for the illustration. Because I've learned two facts about seeds since I bought this. One is that they're really tiny, and the other is that they're dead. At some point in the past, this seed was attached to a sunflower, and it was alive. But now, it's not. And so the only thing to happen for this seed is for it to drop and die. Jesus' big moment, the hour of glory, will be like something which is tiny and dead. This is the first picture Jesus uses here to describe our key truth today, that God achieves his visible victory through the small and through the suffering. Very truly I tell you, unless a seed of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. God's victory is not going to be achieved, first and foremost, by Jesus' triumphant entry, by the angels appearing, by his impressive miracles. But most of all, his victory is achieved in small and suffering. One man with a painful, embarrassing death. Because when you want to multiply a seed, you have to let it die first. And if we had more time, we could go through scripture and we could see again and again how God picks the weak. He picks people at their lowest moment. He picks small people, second best people. He works through their suffering, through their everyday lives. And Jesus, he knows this. And he knows that what God has for him won't be comfortable. You see him crying out here, my soul is troubled. What will I say? Save me from this hour? It would be easy at this point for Jesus to leave, to stay attached to the sunflower, to remain alive. But he has come here for this, for small and for suffering. And this is difficult for the crowd to understand. So he says it another way. Verse 31, he says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he's saying, yes, this is my big victory. You're in a battle. Satan is ruling over the world just for a while, and he is going to be forced out. And the victory will come when I am lifted up. And there's a pun, a play on words here, because lifted up can mean two things. Jesus is going to be lifted up. He is going to be exalted. He's going to be like a banner lifted up, receiving honor and recognition. He's going to be lifted onto his throne. But that will happen in the moment when Jesus is physically lifted up, when he is lifted from the ground, nailed to a cross, when he is exposed, embarrassed, beaten, left to hang until his lungs give up. Sometimes we think that Jesus's high point, his victory, is the resurrection. And of course, that is a confirmation and a vital moment where we see his victory. But it's on the cross where he's wearing the crown of thorns and he's saying, "This is my coronation. This is when I've won my biggest victory." And the crowds, of course, they don't get it. They question it. And most of them don't get it because they don't know Jesus. Some of them understand it in part, but they don't want to admit because they want human approval, not the way of God. And this is so often the way. We as humans and the people around us, they don't like small and suffering and servant and sacrificial. They're in the dark, as Jesus says. They don't know where they're going. And after this, Jesus will stop speaking to the crowds. From this moment on, from John chapter 13, he will only speak to his disciples because he knows the crowds don't get it. And so he speaks to his close friends, but even his close friends don't get it at first. Even the disciples are baffled, and I get that because I'm baffled. I know that this is the way of Jesus, but even I often don't want to do it this way. I want God to be obvious and public and impressive. I want myself to be victorious and recognized and successful. And Jesus says, no. There's one other thing I've learned about seeds, and I've brought a bag of seeds today so that if you want, you could all take one home. I've got loads of seeds here, and what I've noticed, they're tiny and they're dead. They're also all the same. You look at a packet of sunflower seeds, and they're all pretty much the same. And Jesus is saying, if I'm like a seed, and I'm producing more seeds, then they're all gonna go through the same experience as me. If my visible and my victory comes through small and suffering, then yours will too. To serve me, you have to follow me. To follow me, you have to go where I'm going. And this came as a challenge to the disciples, and it comes as a challenge to me and to you and to our culture. And God keeps having to take me back to these truths, to show me in his words that don't seek after the big and the popular and the impressive and the outwardly successful. Life is found in small and in sacrifice. God keeps showing me that in the word. He keeps positioning me in places where I'm reminded that I'm small and that he's at work in that. Where I'm reminded that I'm with a small, ordinary group of people and he's at work in them. That he reminds me that I'm weak, that every day I'm confronted with suffering, and that is where I meet him. Even when God speaks in a big, loud, and visible way, it's often to spur on the small. Last month, a group of us went to New Day Festival, a youth festival, and it is a big place. New Day has a big top with around 11,000 teenagers worshipping together. Big sound, big lights, impressive speakers. And all through the week, the speakers kept on talking about suffering, about the pain they'd been through. And they talked about the decisions they'd made in private, in really small ways to stay obedient to Jesus. And somehow their small and their suffering had formed their character so that they were able to share their stories in a big public way. And as they shared their stories in a big public way, they kept on encouraging us. Take this back into the small. Apply the truths you learned this week in your small, unimpressive church small group, in your school, in your college. Apply this at home, in private, when no one can see what's happening. Let this exciting moment, if it's going to be of any good, let it be a moment which feeds you so that you spare on the tough days, because the tough days are coming. Step by step, we move forward. Little by little, God is building his kingdom. Every prayer, in private, in a small group, every faltering, weak prayer, a powerful weapon. The small shapes people for the spectacular moments, and then the big moments spur us on in the small and the sacrificial. Even in this passage, you'll see God's voice thunders from the sky. They get a big and loud moment. But God speaks to affirm what Jesus is saying, to say, yeah, I have been glorified in your painful, obedient life, and I will be glorified in your painful, obedient death. So Jesus gets his victory in the small and the suffering, and we follow him in smallness, in suffering, and in our smallness and suffering, Jesus is reaching the nations. Recently, I visited some friends who are involved in making disciples and planting new churches in Egypt. And I was struck again by how slow they all are. The time they are taking to learn language, to get to know culture, to build relationships. They're planting tiny seeds that will grow into tiny churches, and they will never have hundreds of people gathered in one room. In their city, there's an ongoing persecution of the church, so some things have to be done in secret, and they are gathering with people who fled from neighboring countries, fled genocide and war, and the enemy attacks the church, and people think the church is buried, and the enemy thinks he's defeated the church, thinks he's buried over the church, and God says, yes, that's the plan. Bury the church. Make it small. Put it in the soil. Because that's how a seed will multiply. We started with the Greeks, the foreigners. We want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, you'll see me. You'll see me when I'm lifted up. And I won't just draw the Jews to myself. I won't just draw the educated, the rulers, the rich. And I won't just draw the foreigners to myself. I won't just draw the poor and the oppressed and the victims. No. When I am lifted up from the earth, lifted as something small and suffering, lifted in victory and seen by the world, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. People from all nations, all backgrounds, all languages, all ethnicities. So how do we respond? I'm going to leave that one for you to work out. We've got a few more minutes, and I love to just gather into groups of 3, 4, 5 people. And we'll give some time just to reflect for a moment on what we've heard this morning, on what it means for Jesus to be small and suffering, for Jesus to win his victory, and to invite us to win our victory in the same way and reach the nations in smallness and in suffering. So in groups of 4 or 5, take some time to discuss what's one thing that you could do to respond to this, to be obedient to Jesus, to follow Jesus' example. Don't talk about everything you could do. Just talk about one thing that you could do this week to respond to this. And is the one person you'll see this week who you could talk to and share something of this truth about Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.